The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And welcome back. We are here for the third hour. Bill Hancock joined us in studio during hour number one. He's executive director of the College Football Playoff. We're really happy to welcome Kevin Clark to the show. He's written a piece in The Ringer called College Football Can't Be Killed, But It Can Be Changed for the Worse. Kevin, good afternoon. Thanks so much for being here. Before we even start, I want to thank you for you made reference to a podcast with The Ringer that we did during our hiatus with Brian Curtis, and your comments about Brian were spot on. He's the editor-in-chief, and I've done a lot of podcasts. I know you have as well, but he is certainly on the Mount Rushmore of podcasters.
You'll be happy to know I had dinner with Brian about two nights ago, and that was half of the dinner. It was talking about how much he enjoyed talking to you, how much magic was in that podcast. So I enjoyed it. I've been a fan of yours for a long time. It's a real thrill to be on this show. But Brian was just as thrilled to be down in Charlotte and get that podcast done.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and we really haven't had a chance to mention it, but we'll do it some other time. But because I do want to talk to you about your piece on college football in the aftermath of SC and UCLA. It really has shaken up the sport, as you point out, and many have wondered, has it exposed the sport for what we already suspected it was? Kevin, take us through your thought process in putting this together.
Well, I mean, this is a sport trying to go from regional to national. And you, with Lane Kiffin, alluded to the NASCAR comparison. I don't think that's a million miles off. I don't think boxing is a million miles off, where the people in charge are not building towards anything except short-term profits. I think that for someone who loves college football, and that's me, I grew up in Central Florida, I went to Miami, I sort of understand the ecosystem. There are not 130 teams, there's about eight, Paul. There's the team I like and the seven who I hate. And that's just sort of the way most people consume it. And when you start to break those things up, things get very scary very quickly. I think that what TV executives and conference heads are betting on is that Ohio State and USC is going to be the tax people are willing to pay in order to get some of these more regional rivalries never played again. So I think it's a very risky bet for the sport trying to go national like this, because you now see USC and UCLA joining means geography no longer matters. And anybody can poach. I mean, if Oregon and Washington join the ACC next week, I don't think any of us are going to be shocked. It'd be a little bit of a surprise. But this felt to me like a bit of a crossing of a stream that I didn't ever see coming.
Yeah, and Kevin, when college administrators at those two schools, and we all know the high academic bar that UCLA and USC subscribe to, I mean, they're sending athletes across the country in every sport without an apology, without an explanation. And those same presidents will stand up and talk about, the concern of the mental wellness of the student athlete and all that other nonsense that people like us have to avoid vomiting listening to.
Yeah, that was the funny thing, is there's all these people tweeting, oh, what did they think about the baseball team and the basketball team? They probably thought about it, but they didn't care, because this is all about revenue and TV markets and football. And I think that if some of these teams end up in a different conference for baseball or basketball or softball, the presidents aren't going to care. This is it. This is football. And so I think that there's a lot of that. And I also think, like, who the apex predator of this is going to change a lot, because this is going to grow and it's going to be power too. Pete Thamel, your colleague, said this in a column a couple weeks ago. It's going to be power too. And so how does that happen? Does the ACC, the ACC is a bit of it's like a small town waiting for a dam to burst, right? Like, you just don't know whether you should go about your business. Is North Carolina trying to jump? Is Miami trying to jump? You don't know. It might be another 14 years until the grant of rights ends to any team actually jumps, but we don't know where this goes. And I think that you're going to be seeing a lot of deals, a lot of teams trying to jump, and it never ends, because until we get to probably two actual 30-team conferences or something like that, the poaching will not end. And so that to me is the most depressing part of this, is we might have another 15 years left of this, Paul, because nobody's in charge, and by design, these conferences will keep building.
And as you know, and we're talking to Kevin Clark, who I am just loving everything you're saying, because you're just one of the smartest people in the industry and one of the few that that can look at it and cut through the layers of fat. I just spent 4 days in Atlanta, and you can imagine the hypocrisy that I heard there. The ACC commissioner Jim Phillips, he was talking the other day, and I wondered what century he was speaking about, because he just now realized, Kevin, in a conference with Duke, and I understand with Krzyzewski, maybe you didn't want to bring this up, that basketball really doesn't matter in terms of trying to garner money.
It doesn't. And there was a quote from Jim Phillips that I will not stop thinking about as somebody who supports a team or is an alma mater from the ACC, which is, we're a top conference except for the revenue part. Well, it sounds like you're not a top conference there, Jim. I don't know how many presidents and ADs are all that excited about eschewing the money part of it and the revenue part of it. There's going to be a gap that is unbelievable by the end of 2036, because the Big Ten is not going to sign a 14-year deal. The SEC is not under a 14-year deal. So they will be behind three deals from the mega conferences by the time that the ACC can even negotiate. There needs to be a Hail Mary. There needs to be something. I mean, the Jim Phillips press conference did not inspire any hope. I don't know what happens with the ACC here, because there's at least four or five schools that have, I'll say it, brands that the other mega conferences are going to want. I think there are some schools like Florida State and Miami who will be better than they currently are right now in 5 years. So that will all change. But I don't know if you're not one of the mega conferences where you go from here, because even, you know, everybody was talking about the Big 12 and the Pac-12 merging or one poaching the other. Don't do anything. If you're a president or AD, listen to me right now. Don't do anything and wait for those mega conferences. Don't hitch your wagon to anything else except that, because it's power to, and there's no other timeline. And that includes the ACC. Those schools are just waiting around to be able to get out right now.
Yeah, and yet you have to wonder, Kevin, about Cincinnati, which is really it, which is becoming a very important brand name. They just dove into a swimming pool out in the Big 12, and there may not be any water in it, because I was talking to a guy the other day, and he said, it was Thamel, actually. He said, I think Cincinnati could end up somewhere else. I'm like, going, they're not even in that league yet.
UCF's the same way. It's like they were ready to be Power 5, and then there's Power 2, and it's like, uh-oh, where do they go? I think we're going to see so many different things. You know, Paul, there are no rules because there never were rules, and that's, we're seeing that now, and we're seeing the logical endpoint, which is there's no commissioner. I mean, say what you will about the NFL. I cover the NFL. I'm about to go 3 weeks on the camp tour starting tomorrow. Roger Goodell, if the Chiefs and the Raiders start saying, we don't really want to play each other anymore, Roger Goodell would say, not only are you playing each other, we're playing you on Sunday night in the second week of September, right? He's in charge. College football doesn't really have that. I guess you could say, the guiding factor would be TV. But on the other hand, over the long haul, Paul, I don't think that TV markets and cable sub fees are what drives college football. I wrote this in the column. What drives it is the hostility towards the guy in the next cubicle over, or the person down the road, your neighbor who put a North Carolina flag out and you just hate them. Like, that's it. That's the little interconnected part of college football that you start to miss when it's Cincinnati playing in, eventual Pac-12 or whatever it is, or even if they stay in the Big 12. Once you start to lose the little regional rivalries, you start to lose college football. And I just implore the people in charge to be very careful about that.
Jeff, Wednesday was on First Take with the poet laureate of college football, Mad Dog Chris Russo. And he told me that Miami was garbage, that nobody goes to the Orange Bowl. I think he missed the move, by the way, to north of the.
It's only been 15 years. You got to give him time.
He said nobody goes there anymore. Nobody watches it. They haven't done anything in a million years. And I was trying to explain to Mad Dog, those metrics don't really matter anymore. And you just alluded to it, but I think a lot of people are very late to this party. So, which brings me to the question, and I know it's not answerable, but I'm going to try it anyway. If you had to look ahead, what is going to be the next big bang in college football? What's going to happen next?
Well, it's funny. I don't want to get anybody mad at me, but I was talking to someone in college sports a couple weeks ago, and they were saying, well, the Big 12 is the most stable conference. And I was saying, well, they're the most stable conference because they've run out of teams that everybody wants to poach, right? And so you look at the next wave of, okay, the SEC or the ACC or the Big Ten would love to have these, and it's the ACC schools. It's North Carolina, it's Florida State, it's Clemson, it's Miami, it's Virginia. I would say Virginia Tech would be in that mix. And I think that those schools are already looking. I mean, I saw Dan Radakovich was quoted months ago saying, hey, we're looking at the TV contract, we just need to see more revenue, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think the next bang is, can those schools get out? If they do, where do they go? Is there a bidding war between those the two mega conferences for some of these brands? I think that's it, because that's the most desirable thing. With the exception of Notre Dame, which is going to wait to see with the NBC TV contract, if they get, I mean, Dennis Dodd had that report, they want $75 million. We'll see where that ends up. But it, not counting Notre Dame, it's whether or not the grant of rights in the ACC is as ironclad as we think. Your colleague David Hale said it might be around $300 billion to get out. I don't think that's worth it. I mean, I joked in the column, but like, this is not buying out Willie Taggart, okay? This is not a couple boosters getting together. This is paying more than a couple, you know, there's nations, their GDP is less than $300 million in order to play Rutgers every Saturday. Like, that's the next move. So I think we have to see. Maybe there's a court battle. I don't know. But the ACC brands are the next domino to fall over the next decade, I would say, Paul.
Well, they're in good shape, though. They have Jim Phillips. And obviously, I don't know what they spent on that search committee to hire him, but they obviously didn't spend enough, because, you know, he looked clueless in Charlotte the other day at his press conference. And I really feel badly for that league, because, I mean, there are some bona fide great schools in the ACC that would make the league that I cover most and a few others very entertaining.
I completely agree. And I think that even the potential, I think Miami's going to be very, very good. If you're following their recruiting over the past couple of weeks, it is rolling. And I think that, you know, when I look at programs, I think about, there's an old book, Good to Great, Paul, where they talk about what can you be the best in the world at? And for Miami, they can take the most recruit-rich area of the world, get those guys in the building and develop them, turn them into NFL guys. That's what they've done every single time they've been good since Howard Schnellenberger. And I think Miami's got that potential over the next couple of years to be a playoff team by the time the next wave of realignment starts to pop up. So I don't know what happened. I mean, Clemson, I just saw a lot of people were picking them, even with the quarterback questions, to make the playoff. Florida State at some point is going to turn this thing around. So when those schools start to get better and better and better and continue to have a national profile, I don't know what you do when you have a $40 million revenue shortfall. The coaching starts to erode. The facility starts to erode. I mean, who knows what goes on with NIL a decade from now? I mean, that just changes every single day. But the future of college football is set, and the ACC is not a part of it right now. And that's a huge problem if I'm one of those high-level schools.
One of the best conversations we've had in a long time, Kevin Clark of The Ringer. Kevin, I don't know if you could enjoy 3 weeks at NFL camps, but we'll be thinking of you. And when you find clean air, when it's all over, we'd love to continue this conversation.
Anytime, Paul. It's a real thrill.
Thank you. Wow, that was unbelievable. Kevin Clark joining us with some real talk, straight talk, about the current state of college football. We'll take a short break. Your phone calls in just a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
By the way, I realize we are midway through the show, but I did want to mention Alabama was the pick. The reason I haven't spent a lot of time on this poll, because it just, I don't know if it's my imagination, but it seems tainted. The reason why is Georgia in the East got 172 first-place votes, Kentucky 4, Tennessee 1, Florida was 4th, South Carolina got 3 first-place votes, Missouri 6, Vanderbilt got a first-place vote. And no reason for me to explain the stupidity and the absurdity of that. And it seems like if anyone who would vote for Vanderbilt, for me to even have to raise the issue, do they deserve a vote at SEC Media Days? I mean, is that not one of the most absurd things I've ever seen? Alabama, 177 first place votes in the West. A&M got 3. Arkansas 1. Arkansas is 3rd. Ole Miss, LSU, Mississippi State, and Auburn picked to finish last. Jeff is up next in Ohio. Hello, Jeff.
What's going on, Paul?
Jeff, so good to hear from you.
I mean, man, oh, man, it's good to have you back. It's been, what, since the 4th of July?
You're being nice.
Pretty much. Yeah. Hey, before I go any further, I usually come down pretty hard on some of your guests and analysts you have on, but that last guy,
he was great.
You need to get him on more often. That guy was good.
He really was. That's as smart and as analytical a guest as we have had here in a long time.
Yeah. I mean, he broke it down correctly about how these schools, without a commissioner, they don't care to want to work together. They really don't want to work together. And that's the problem I've had and expressed to you numerous times. But, hey, I want to give props to Tennessee. Way to go, Tennessee. You're back in the headlines.
Hey, remember when it was all about a couple of McDonald's hamburgers? It seems like it grew bigger than free burgers at McDonald's.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's how they all wanted to spin it. Kind of like when they wanted to run Shiano out and hire Pruitt. Nice job. Nice job, volunteers. Hey, Paul, that clown from New Jersey, AC, you're not gonna smash anybody, AC, especially me. I don't know why you're wasting your time trying to compete with guys in the major leagues, because you really ought to get out of Double-A and Single-A with Matt in San Antonio and maybe Bama Nick before you want to take on some of the All-Stars.
Hold on 1 second, Jeff. I normally agree with everything you say. Bama Nick, Double-A? I mean, how about Class D? How about Class D in Modesto?
Is he in the rookie league? But my point is, we can't even understand AC to even have him smash anybody. We first got to understand him. So I think him and Matt from San Antonio would be a great voter feud, because we wouldn't understand either one of them. But anyway, Paul, are you a little down today that you don't get to spread that SEC propaganda for another day? I mean, when they add Texas and Oklahoma, is it going to be a 5-day affair or what? I mean, it wasn't quite long enough this year.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, I was so sad last night at Hartsfield, getting on a plane and leaving all that behind. I mean, only 4 days. I just felt like maybe we could have talked today just about officiating a little bit more and maybe some of the academic accomplishments of the AC.
I mean, 2025, I'm assuming it's going to be a 5-day affair. My goodness. I mean, and some of these guys, I listen to you on XM, Paul, so when I'm in my car, I usually have XM on.
Right.
Who are those guys in the morning? Doring? And who's that other guy that's on with Doring in the morning? Burns? You know who he is?
I have met Peter Burns, yes. Yeah, he hosted the show not long ago.
I mean, I got to believe when he left Atlanta, he had to shower and soft scrub, man, because all the BS he runs around. I don't know why the rest of us are even trying, Paul. How do we keep up?
I can't evaluate myself. I felt like I was mostly a straight shooter there. I wouldn't say every guest, but a few of them
you can spew a little SEC propaganda now and then, Paul.
But, I mean, they're all great people. Jeff. I mean,
the
coaches and the coaches in the SEC are straight shooters. They never obfuscate. They never go into their passive aggressive mode. They're the most authentic 14 men I've ever met.
Exactly. And even your boy Yankee Stakey was a little cocky this year, wasn't he?
Now, he has a reason to be cocky.
I mean, I'm telling you what, Paul. He got a little sassy when he had to bring up the comparison of Oklahoma and Texas and USC and UCLA. I think he's trying to deflect attention from the new contract the Big Ten's about ready to sign. He's shaking in his boots about that contract, and you know it.
Well, there's no doubt the Big Ten is going to make the biggest news from here on in terms of this calendar year. That is going to be the biggest contract in college television history, and it comes after one of the biggest moves of all time with USC going up there. So yeah, next week is going to be a tough week for some of us down here, having to listen to the propaganda coming from Big Ten Media Days.
Oh, Midwest propaganda, Paul. Why don't you come up and hang out with me? We'll roll up there for the propaganda. Come on.
I didn't get invited. So you know what I want to do next week? I want to go to Pac 10.
I don't know why they might be back to the Pac 8.
I want to go to the Pac whatever media days and listen to that commissioner run his mouth about what a smart decision it was to shut the Pac 12 down from going to a 12 team CFP. That's what I want to hear.
He's going to probably say he wanted to get back to tradition and get back to the Pac 8, is what he's going to say.
Yeah, when you're stuck with Colorado and you don't have USC. You got the Arizona schools. You got a lot to be proud of, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But anyway, Paul, it's great to have you back on the airwaves. I got to admit, man, we all really miss you. And it's good to get it back, and it's time to get it on. I mean, the people are right. Let's go back to the callers and really drive this bad boy right through the season, man. But it's time to go, Paul.
I'm with you. Hey, thank you. And I appreciate the call. And you know, you've heard me. I'm not taking any shots at the Big Ten. They have made a master move. William in Maryville, for those who don't know geography, right outside of Knoxville, which is at the epicenter of college football today, with the latest on Jeremy Pruitt.
Well, I haven't even heard about it, Paul. But let me run some math by you and ask your opinion on something. Because I did a little math, and, you know, math doesn't lie, Paul. You know, the 11 SEC states without Oklahoma have about 99 million people in them, and then Oklahoma's got 4. So once Oklahoma and Texas join, the SEC states will have about 103 million people in them.
Correct.
Now, the Big Ten states, as they're constituted now, have about 86 million people in them. Now, they get California. And, of course, you know, USC and UCLA don't bring the whole state. But let's, for the sake of argument, give them all a California. That takes them to 126 million people. But what's interesting is of the SEC states, only 2, Louisiana and Mississippi, have negative population growth. And of the Big Ten states, only 4, Wisconsin, Iowa, Nebraska and Indiana, have positive population growth. Now, how do you think those kind of statistics, because, you know, the term fan doesn't just mean alumni or student. You know, a lot of fans are not alumni and haven't been students. And, you know, as people come into, say, an area like Knoxville, maybe Jeff moves down to Knoxville, he's still going to be an Ohio State fan, but maybe his kids end up being Tennessee fans. How does ESPN or Fox extrapolate those population numbers and those population trends in predicting the value of these various alliances?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but what I do know, William, is that the old rules don't apply anymore. This is no longer...
Right.
I remember when Missouri came into the SEC, I asked the commissioner at the time, you know, what's the deal with Missouri? Missouri wanted to go to the Big Ten. That's well known. And he said, well, we had an opportunity to get them because the Big Ten had turned them down. They wanted out of the Big 12. And they were important from a geographical footprint, Kansas City, St. Louis. Right. That doesn't matter anymore, because I really wonder, considering Kansas City has the Chiefs and St. Louis used to have professional football, but you know baseball is a dominant sport there. If that, I just don't think those are old rules. So you're really looking for names as opposed to individual states. You want to know who are the biggest brands in the sport.
Okay, but then you also look at the ACC. You know, North Carolina is a growing state with about 11 million people. Virginia's got about 9.
Sure.
You know, but then you've got, you know, if Clemson came into the SEC or solidified South Carolina,
well,
if Florida State
But you already have that, though, is my point.
Yeah.
The reason why,
exactly.
Let me explain. Here's why you want Clemson. Because Clemson in anybody is a high-octane, high-caliber matchup. It's a school that's won a couple of national championships. It's got a big name. So you match up Clemson and Mississippi State, it's better than other matchups that you could get. So North Carolina is intriguing, and you mentioned it. They may be as coveted as anybody on the dance card.
Well, and of course, you look at – and again, I realize that, you know, the old days of just calculating cable, you know, cable boxes don't apply anymore. But then I started also looking at, because I had no idea that with the SEC having Florida and Texas, you know, it has a population footprint equal with the Big Ten. But it's a growing population footprint as opposed to a declining population footprint.
True.
But, you know, but then you look at, for instance, South Carolina has one of the highest growth rates of any state right now. California has one of the highest negative population trends. And I'm just trying to figure out, you know, obviously, you have, say, a Clemson Mississippi State game. How do you value that brand and turn it into dollars to make these kind of decisions?
William, I need to run to the break, but you're being very analytical and very thoughtful. I'm not sure those are the overriding factors. Number one, it's availability, and you just have to measure the moment and the moment in time. Oklahoma and Texas wanted out of where they were, so that's what you do. It's not like going to the mall on Saturday to go shopping. We will take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are doing this right now, and let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. And JB is in Mississippi. Hello, JB.
Hey, man. How y'all doing, Paul?
JB,
man,
we are doing great. Thank you.
Glad that you accept my call.
Thank you.
I've tried many times to get through to your show because I'm a great SEC fan. I think that the SEC is the best athletic conference in college, not just football. And we've proven it this year in baseball.
Oh, absolutely.
With back-to-back championships in baseball. And I know that you are a football analyst more. I really don't have a question. I know that you're I know that you're a great analyst in football. But I want to send a message to Lane Kiffin as a fan of Ole Miss that, Lane, don't take the money. We believe that you can take us to a national championship if you don't take the money. Love y'all, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, JB. Cheryl is up next in Florida. Hello, Cheryl.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
Cheryl, we are doing great. Hope you are.
I'm doing great, too. I just wanted to call and first-time caller, long-time listener. I enjoy all of your other original callers that call in. And my husband and I, we just wanted to tell you how much we enjoy your show.
Well, thank you.
And how much we enjoyed Media Day. It was great.
Yeah, I think it really was. And, you know, it could be that we were just sitting here in the middle of the summer and wondering if the season would ever start. But it was fairly compelling when you consider the storylines and the SEC.
Oh, well, that's it right there. We love to hear the different stories and the history and listen to all the different coaches. We're big, big, big SEC fans. You know, like most SEC people say, you know, we are the best. Sometimes I wonder, some of your callers, you know, this is the SEC channel, right?
Yes, it is.
okay, that's all. That's all I wanted to say with
well,
that.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, and by the way, I've said this many, many times. We are on the SEC network on television. We're on a national radio syndicate through ESPN Radio, and then obviously many other affiliates. I don't mind talking about anything else. I think what many others have said already lately is that college football is no longer a regional sport. It's a national sport. When you think that the SEC goes from Gainesville to South Carolina all the way over to Missouri, Texas, and back through Louisiana and all the states in between, it's a big footprint. Thank you for the call. Let's check out Greg, who is in Dallas. So hello, Greg.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me, man. I'm a longtime listener, and this is first time getting through.
Thank you.
So, yeah, it's a pleasure being on here. I grew up in East Tennessee, so I grew up a Vol fan. And, you know, after seeing the notice of allegations, well, actually I had this thought when he got fired, but how come I haven't heard, like, especially from you, because you're kind of the voice of the SEC, but of where, why haven't we been talking about, like, where Jeremy Pruitt got his start? Is that a fair question?
Yeah, I mean, anything's fair. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt was a high school coach in Hoover, Alabama.
Yeah.
He went to Alabama. With Rush Probst. He went to Alabama from there.
Yeah.
And he's been at Alabama twice. He left and then came back.
Right.
So if you're asking me where was his most, he went to Alabama. So yeah, he's got pretty strong ties to the University of Alabama and Nick Saban.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when he got canned initially, you know, I'm like, and I heard about the allegations, I'm like, you know, he only learned that from one place. I mean, that's why I called and asked, you know. I mean, just curious, why haven't we been talking about that? You know, especially
well,
after
well,
the Jimbo
well, Greg,
and
you've said something that is accurate, but just because Jeremy Pruitt coached for Nick Saban doesn't mean that Nick Saban called him into a room and taught him how to do stupid, moronic things, which he's accused of doing.
I think
you're stretching as far as you can go to make that connection.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to the guy when I called in, and it was the reason why I was also fresh in my mind too is because of the whole Jimbo and Saban spat earlier this year. So I don't know. I just thought more attention would be paid to, you know, the fact that he kind of started out there and, you know, he's been in a, you know, I don't know. Just that,
well,
was,
well,
always,
Greg,
that
listen,
was the first thing I thought of.
Thank you for the call. Let me just offer this opinion. Think about today on this program that Tennessee is accused of 18 level one. That's major. That's as bad as it gets. Allegations. There are allegations that not only did Jeremy Pruitt give money to players, his wife did. Think about the meltdown we had 7 or 8 years ago when the allegations came out against Hugh Freeze, which I don't think were in this range. Some of them were pretty serious. I'm not sure there was as many. You compare it to 15, 20 years ago. Why is this thing not getting more attention? Because there is such a thin line right now between what's legal and what's not. Now, I'm well aware these allegations occurred before before the NCAA, before NIL began a year and 3 weeks ago. But it just doesn't seem as important. And yeah, I mean, I don't think Tennessee is going to be shut down over this. I'm not sure they're going to really be hit that hard, for the reason being that they jumped on it. The president of Tennessee, Chancellor Plowman, what did she do? She fired Jeremy Pruitt, and she forced Philip Fulmer out. Remember that rather painful retirement press conference of Fulmer, where he looked like there was someone off camera, pointing something at him if he opened his mouth. This reflects more on Philip Fulmer than really anyone else. And I've always, I was in favor of him returning as athletic director. I thought that was a great return, a historical move for our university. I felt like Fulmer was going to bring everyone together. And instead, he turned out to have made one of the worst coaching decisions any athletic director has ever made. We head to the break. Coming up with more after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We mentioned the Jeremy Pruitt allegations, and there are massive number of serious ones. There are also some allegations leveled against his wife, Casey Pruitt. What is interesting about that? Casey Pruitt used to work at Florida State when Jeremy Pruitt was there in 2013 under Jimbo Fisher. Pruitt met her in Tallahassee. They went out and got married. What was Casey Pruitt doing at Florida State? She was working in the compliance office. Legend is up next.
We done screwed Tennessee up. Get back for Fat Phil. Oh, I'm sorry, Paul. That old hatred is coming out of me, brother. Hold on. Come back here, David. Come back here. Woo! Tennessee messed up, ain't they, brother?
Yeah. Just when they were coming back.
Just when they was on the verge. You know, Paul, everybody that come out of that Hoover High School program turned out to be crooked, didn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, blaming Nick Saban, why don't we go back to the genesis of Jeremy Pruitt's career. He was an assistant. He was a graduate assistant one time at Alabama, but his fame came under Rush Probst at Hoover High School.
Yeah, we know what Hoover was doing. They was NILing before NIL was cool.
Yeah, no, that was a payroll to meet.
A payroll to meet, absolutely. That's where he got that from. And Tennessee wasn't smart enough to figure that out, see, Paul. In college football, when you hire a coach, you have to think five moves ahead. That means you have to go five moves backwards at all times to figure out who the hell you're dealing with. That is a big damn decision when you put a man over your football program.
Hey, legend, let me interrupt for a second because I have a feeling you're about to get on a roll. Tell me I'm right. And we are crashing into the break. I mean, we did that the other night, and it pained me not to hear your entire story. So could we ask you to pause? And because you are so distinguished, you're the caller of the year, we are going to continue you into the next hour. We'll start over again with legend. Let me revisit to a couple of the bigger stories of the day. The biggest story of the day is Tennessee. They are on the clock, getting a notice of 18 level one allegations. Those are major. I mentioned Pruitt's wife is involved. Pruitt is involved. There isn't a consensus on where this is going. Pete Thamel was unclear because everything is different. And the school did. They were proactive. I mean, they fired Pruitt. They fired other assistants. And they pushed Philip Fulmer to the curb. We'll come back. Legend starts off the final hour right after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.